All right, well, we have a wonderful Savior. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. I've told you some years ago, a man out on the street engaged me in conversation, and he decided just to rattle off all the wicked things he'd done. And he just went on and on. And I've mentioned this to you in the past, and he was trying to shock me with what he was doing, and he just went on and on. And then he said, "What do you think of that?" And I really wanted the Lord to give me a word to say to him. When he was rattling it off, I didn't. And I really feel the Lord impressed me just to say to him, "There's still time. There's still time. You can still be saved." So even all of this. Now we have a similar case in chapters 18 and 19 of Genesis. Here we have terrific sin. But there was still time. Prayer had been offered. Intercessory prayer had been offered. There was still time. Unfortunately, the time was spurned. The offer of grace was spurned. Before turning to chapter 18 of Genesis, we might just remind ourselves of the Lord's words in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Two statements. It doesn't say as much. The Lord didn't say as much. More the fact of life was carrying on in both cases. But in chapter 17, verse 26, and it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." And then in verse 28, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot." Verse 30, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." So you've got two statements here. As it was in the days of Noah, the earth was full of violence. As it was in the days of Lot, great moral perversion in the world. And those two things will mark the days of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn in our Bibles to chapter 18 of Genesis. Chapter 18 of Genesis. Chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. "And the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abram, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." This is in fact a manifestation of the Lord. It's the Lord and three and two angels, we believe. It's really a pre-manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this appearance to Abraham tells us of something that's about to happen, a terrific judgment. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again. We're thankful for our great Savior. And what a wonder it is. And again, we're thankful for the truth that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And yet we're also conscious, how shall we escape? How shall anyone escape if they neglect so great salvation? And so, Father, tonight we pray, speak to us from thy word. Help us, and again we look forward as we see the clouds of even stretching out across the whole world. Again, we look for that blessed hope. But we also, Lord, want to occupy until you return and ever hold forth the word of life to lost sinners and to pray for the lost. We pray this now in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, in chapter 18, we have seen Abraham. We have seen him as he left Ur of the Chaldees. We saw him go down into Egypt. We're glad he didn't stay there. We saw him as he came back to Bethel, back to the place of the altar, back to the place of the tent, the place of worship, the place of recognizing that he was a pilgrim. We saw the great covenant that God made with Abraham, re-emphasized, given initially in chapter 12, re-emphasized in chapter 15, re-emphasized in chapter 17. The promise of a son, and yet the years have passed. We saw that chapter 15 was Abraham's faith chapter, but chapter 16, sadly, was his doubt chapter. His let's take matters into our own hands chapter. We looked at that last week. And yet he comes back to the place of faith in chapter 17. God gives him a walking lesson. He said, we saw there was a 13-year silence. We saw Abraham at 99 in chapter 17. Again, the promise of the son. A son will come. And though Abraham is now quite an old elderly man, yet the promise will come. But in chapter 18, in many ways, Abraham reaches an even higher plane and a higher place of fellowship with God as an intercessor. And here we see him as an intercessor for the doomed cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He could have said, well, they've got what's coming to them. But we see this great intercessory prayer, and it's one of the great prayers of the Bible. Now, here he pleads for the cities of the plain. On the other hand, Lot, and we've got two Christians, it's a tale of two Christians, Abraham and Lot, both saved. Peter 2 verse 7 refers to Lot, that just man Lot. He was a Christian, he was a believer, yet he kind of was trying to fit in with Sodom and Gomorrah. At least he wasn't happy with what was happening there, but he found it was a good place to go and to make some money, and it's affected him. So we've got really two Christians here. One has the tent. Abraham has a tent. Lot has a house. Abraham has a tent at Hebron, place of fellowship with God. Lot has a house down at Sodom. Abraham, the intercessor, no word of Lot praying for the inhabitants of Sodom. And so here we see in the opening verses as this manifestation of God appears to Abraham, you'll notice Abraham becomes very busy. He's sitting at the tent door. He looks, he recognizes this heavenly visitation. He runs to meet them. He bows down, and you'll see this in the verses following. He welcomes them. He prepares a meal for them. He stands by while they're eating. He stirs up his servants to serve them. And why? Because the Lord, Jehovah, has personally come to meet Abraham. Here is an Old Testament manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice these words of action. He says in verse 3, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself." And verse 5, "I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts." And in verse 6, "And Abraham hastened to the tent, and says to Sarah, make ready, and some measures of fine meal." And in verse 7, "And Abraham ran to the herd, he fetches a calf, tender and good." And verse 8, "He took butter." And so here is, he's working, he's laboring, he knows God is in his midst. He's going to be the best possible host for the Lord. And to be a host for the Lord, we saw something of that in the message this morning. The Lord said to his disciples, "Go into the city and you'll find such a man, and tell that man that I'll observe the Passover in his house." And we saw that. We see the same principle. Again, that our homes are, you know, it's a place where the Lord would feel comfortable to come. Later on, we're going to see the same Lord not so happy with the things down at Lot's house, though a Christian. But here, he's happy. We see the total difference. And so, everything is activity on the part of Abraham. And then this matter, though, of the Lord eating. That's a wonderful truth, a mystery. Psalm 78, verse 25 speaks of angels' food. They did eat angels' food. Does that mean angels eat? Well, Psalm 76, 25 says they do. And angels' food, the Lord ate in chapter 24 of Luke. And in Luke 14, 15, it says, "Blessed are they that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. They'll come from the east, the west, a great, wonderful time of fellowship." And here in verses 9 to 15, we see the Lord partaking of Abraham's meal that he prepared. But then the Lord gives a promise to Abraham. He's Abraham. He says in verse 9, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him." Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself." And in verse 13, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" See, she laughed within herself. It may not even have been audible, saying, "Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." You did. You really did. And so 90-year-old Sarah laughed. It was a laughter of unbelief. In the previous chapter, Abraham laughs for joy. With regard to this son that's about to be born, there's a lot of laughter. Now, there's two types of laughter. Sarah's was more of a laughter of unbelief. Abraham's laughter was one of faith. In Psalms 126, verse 2, it says, "He filled our mouth with laughter." That was the kind of laughter that Abraham had. At any rate, though, a lot of laughter. The son is going to be born. The link to the Messiah. What will we name him? We'll name him Laughter. Both parents were laughing. We'll name him Laughter. And that's what the name Isaac means. Isaac means laughter. So this is little laughter. And a lot of laughter. It was a laughter, ultimately, a laughter of joy. And so, then we go on, though, and we see, as we look at verse 16, this is a happy gathering. But this isn't the only reason that we see this heavenly visitation. Yes, it was to once again tell Abraham and Sarah the news that they're going to have a little boy. But that's not the only reason they've come. Now the tone and the scene begins to change. And now, in verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And the Lord is reasoning with those with him. And he speaks again highly of Abraham in verses 18 and 19. And then in verse 20, "And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. And Abraham knows what now is about to take place. And Abraham drew near and said, Abraham standing before the Lord, Abraham knew good and well what now was going to follow. He's been in the presence of God. He knows God is holy. And he is well aware of what is happening down in Sodom. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous men within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Be it far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right, and the judge of all the earth does right?" He always does right. And the Lord said, and this is Jehovah, notice the capital letters. And Jehovah, and the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake." But Abraham knows. Probably not 50 there. And then in verse 27, he asks in verse peradventure. You need to probably mark the peradventures in your Bible. Peradventure, verse 28. There's lack if it's only 45. He says, if it's only 45. And then another peradventure in verse 30. Peradventure, if there's only 30 there. He did if there's just 30. He says, no, if there's 30 there, you'll spare the city. And another peradventure in verse 31. if there's only 20 there. And I'll spare the entire city if there's 20 there. And he said, one more peradventure. And he said, oh, let, verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, just 10 there. Just 10. God is gracious. The Bible says that willing that none should perish. If there's just 10 there, I will not destroy the city. That's really not much more than Lot's family. And if 10 there, and the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So here is the heart of the soul winner. And the Bible does say in the latter days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And the Bible says, well, it's almost going to be like people just give up. It's going to get so bad. And we see things in the paper, and I know this Demaso, every 2 weeks he gives me the church paper. And really, and I read this, I always read it when I go home at night after the service. And you read this. And it's an excellent paper, and it just tells what's happened the last 2 weeks, primarily in British society. And it's bad. It is absolutely unbelievable what is happening. So I don't read it. I know what the headlines are. They're not good, but I'll read it when I get home tonight. And then I read it, and then Dot reads it. And we only do it, thankfully, we only have to do this twice, once every 2 weeks. But things are bad indeed. Bad indeed. Never dreamt of this 20 years ago in the pulpit. And what would be happening in the nation. And yet it's happening. And it's now become institutionalized. And so here it is. And so, but God is willing. And the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Matthew 24:14. And so, again, keep getting the word out. Keep your head down. Keep going out. I said to somebody, what can I do? I said, well, keep your head down. Keep getting the word out. And keep singing Amazing Grace. Just do that. You know, very simple. Just keep on. Keep on. The Lord hasn't called us home yet. And keep getting the scriptures out. Keep singing Amazing Grace. And be a faithful servant. Occupy till he comes. And so, here we have this great intercessory prayer of Abraham. Now we come to chapter 19. Alas, to sum up the chapter, 10 righteous men were not found in Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verses 1 to 5. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now that was a place of prominence. And Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now my lords turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. But they don't want to. They were so ready to accept Abraham's hospitality, but with Lot it's different. His house isn't the same as Abraham's. Both men are believers. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and then they come in. And he baked some unleavened bread. Bit of a different fare. Abraham, what a feast he prepared for the Lord. Poor Lot, just unleavened bread. So there's a difference. Being an important man in Sodom has sapped the spiritual life of Lot. There's no longer the overflowing love of the Lord. So it rather shows in that meal. And then things really get bad. They come down, the Lord knows, but here's just a demonstration. God will manifest Himself. The Lord knows in heaven. The Lord doesn't have to come down. But sometimes there will be a manifestation of God in order to bring sin totally out of hiding. And that's exactly what we have in these verses. And it says in verse 5 and in verse 4, I'm sorry. And he lay down, and before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Everybody came. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And you know probably what that means. And so here we, yes, the Lord came down, the manifestation of God. But now with the manifestation of God, it brings forth this manifestation of evil. The Bible speaks of those who shun the grace of God. Stephen said, just before he was about to be stoned, he said in chapter 7 and verse 51, ye do always resist the grace of God. Now here, the long-suffering of God, and now it's reached totally flood tide. And so here we see, and this is going to be one of the marks of the last day. People say, well, what's the cause of it? Well, first of all, in the fallen, man is fallen. People are fallen. We have a fallen human nature. And that human nature is capable of all sorts of evil. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's capable of just about anything. Just about anything. But sometimes the reason for it is the reason that is given in Romans chapter 1. And you can read Romans chapter 1. And it talks about when people continually deny God, deny His creative handwork, deny His grace, turn from Him, willfully put Him out of their mind. They can do it to such an extent that God takes away the fence. And they're exposed to all sorts of things, especially this thing. This thing. And so, we see it. And we're really, it's now become institutionalized. This was in the Times, March the 4th. And they passed, you've got two houses, and I don't quite understand the judicial system, but you've got the House of Lords. I always think of going to the Houses of Parliament and then going to the House of Lords. But they put something through the House of Lords back on the 4th of March. And basically, the House of Lords looks more favorably on our side on things like this. The Parliament, not so much. But generally, the House of Lords tends to be a bit more conservative. But by an overwhelming vote, again, it was put forth suddenly. we might say it caught them a little bit off guard, but still they knew. These are wise men, and they knew how they were voting. And they voted 5-1 to make it so that a church building, if people want to have a gay wedding in a church building, they can. They can. Now, that was put forward. You say, that's fine. But here is the point. Here was the headline in the Times. Gay marriage plan puts clergy at risk of being sued. If you say that, no, we don't believe that, with new legislation now, you can be told you're discriminating. And you can be sued. And so here are a number of leading clergy, many from the Church of England, and warning a fear that churches that refuse to bless civil partnerships would be forced to close. I mean, it's come to that. Now, this hasn't gone through Parliament yet, but the fact that it sailed through the House of Lords, it shows you how institutionalized. The Bible says, what will be one of the marks of the last days? Christ the Lord said, as it was in the days of Lot. We're right there. Never become, oh, it's always been there, but it's never been institutionalized until our day. That is what makes this day different. And never a day quite like it. We keep crossing lines, and this is just so we have this. And again, it's not necessary for me to go through the entire account. I noticed they're pounding on the doors. They compassed around the house. They can mobilize like few others can. There was a quite a sound church in San Francisco. And they just kept minding their own business, getting the gospel out. But they brought in a speaker, just a speaker speaking about normal, traditional family values. I mean, it was a very moderate, it wasn't type of message. And again, the homosexual community in San Francisco gathered around the church, pounded on the doors. The congregation was trapped inside. The police didn't do a whole lot to alleviate the problem. This was several years ago. But again, the pounding on the door here, that's quite descriptive. So the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, Luke 17, verses 28 to 30, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. God had said in verse 21 of chapter 18, I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it they have. But there's this manifestation now. The manifestation is brought out. And so we see this, and again, it's quite terrible here, and even Lot's actions are really bad. You're supposed to protect your guests, but what Lot does is inexcusable. And the people, the men, the angels, the Lord warn Lot. In verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides sons in law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and he spake to his sons-in-law, and married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. that he seemed as one that had mocked. And he wasn't to be his, he'd lost his testimony, becoming an important man. And he lingers in verse 16. And the angels have to literally pull him out. And they laid their hand upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. They, rather than them just naturally wanting to leave, they're having to pull them out. And the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought them forth and set him without the city. Verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. But Lot, he wants to, rationalize. Oh, not so, my Lord. And he's got another idea. And he says, there's another place to go to. And so, they tell him again in verse 22, haste thee, escape thither. Now here's an important verse. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Here's a verse that would point strongly to the pre-tribulational rapture as it was in the days of Lot. Couldn't do anything until Lot came out of Sodom. Though Lot was a backslidden Christian, he had to come out. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. That's what the Lord said in Luke 17, 29. And verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. That wasn't God's perfect place for him, but he said, I'd like to go there instead. God said, go to the mountain. But he said, no, I'll go to Zoar. But then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now the fire didn't come from hell beneath. It came from heaven above. Notice that this way the term Jehovah are distinguished. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the Lord who's been talking to Lot. Brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Here's one of those passages that show a distinction within the Godhead. God is one, yet God is three. And you see that. You see this is a portion that strongly points to the truth of the Holy Trinity. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back. And he brought her out physically, but the influence of Sodom had even affected her. And she looked back, and then tragically, as you look at the end of the chapter, you've got a haggard old man leering out, looking out of a cave, and we find that the influence of Sodom had affected Lot's daughters too. One of the tragic chapters of the Bible. Here is a saved man of just love. The Bible says he vexed his righteous soul daily. 2 Peter chapter 2 with their ungodly deeds, and yet he was quite content to live there and really let his house and home kind of acquiesce to some extent with it. But the Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Friend, we have reached that point. Once it becomes institutionalized, once parliaments make it part of the law, you know you have well and truly entered the days of Lot. That's what makes this day different than just 10 years ago. And that's where we are today. Let's stop it there. As we bow before the Lord, we see Abraham on the highest possible plane for a believer, that of an intercessor. Lot could have said, oh, I'm just going to listen to the news reports. I know what's going to happen. But no, he did pray for them. He really did. He prayed for them to the very end. I'm certain Noah prayed for them too. We think that we saw when we looked at the flood, the Bible speaks in 2 Peter that they were saved by water. The water, I think, actually took the ark away from those that had surrounded the ark. I think the people of that day were going to attack Noah. And you've got kind of the same picture here. And so, again, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. It did. It really did. And the Lord said to Lot, he said, I cannot do anything till thou become hither until you come out. We believe that's in picture of the rapture. He's going to take believers out. And then he's going to judge the world. He'll punish the world. Isaiah 13, verse 11. I will punish the world for their wickedness, their evil, and the wicked for their arrogancy. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. That's going to happen. We're right at that point. Jerusalem they've crossed lines concerning Jerusalem. Zechariah 2 verse 8 says, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. And they're doing that. And Jerusalem has become the burdensome stone for all the world. Everyone's thinking about Jerusalem. Blame the world's problems on Jerusalem. And that's basically what they're doing. And so we have reached this point. We wish people could see it. We're sorry they don't. But we continue to hold forth the word of life. Keep getting the gospel out. There's still time. Keep telling the old, old story. Keep singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Keep getting the gospel out. Keep getting it out. But we are reaching now the midnight hour. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, again, speak to us. Challenge us. Protect us. Help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, as thou hast told us in Matthew, in days such as this. Wise concerning the times. And Lord, how that we can best spread thy word to every single person in these days. Help us as we do this. We're thankful, Lord, for the truth that the gospel is still the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And so, though not many came out of Sodom, not many went into the ark, we're thankful again for thy promise that you're willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do bless now. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.